Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, good morning and welcome back to Hard Tack and Coffee. This is your host, Matthew Adams. And this week we're going to be discussing a little known fact of the Civil War, and it is the United States Army Veteran Reserve Corps. Now, the American Civil War brought extensive casualties on both sides of the conflict using old tactics with new weapons. Well, with the enormous amount of casualties, this caused problems for staffing of behind-the-lines rear echelon troops such as logistics, hospital orderlies, and such. Well, the more and more soldiers got wounded on the front lines, more and more soldiers behind the lines had to be transferred to the front lines, creating staffing problems for just basic, simple necessities of transporting equipment or even being hospital attendants helping other wounded soldiers. So the United States Army War Department decided in April of 1862 to use convalescent soldiers, soldiers who were wounded in some form or fashion but were able to perform light-duty functions. They started using them as nurses, cooks, and hospital attendants at the hundreds of hospitals across the North. Well, this worked so well that on March 20, 1863, the War Department created General Order No. 69, organizing wounded soldiers for light duty. 1 month later, they officially named this body of troops the Invalid Corps. Now, when the creation of the Invalid Corps, they created two different battalions. The first battalion of troops were made up of soldiers that could still sort of fight, they could bear rifles and muskets, and perform light duty, but they weren't able to do active campaigning. These were soldiers that may have had bouts of malaria or a simple wound to the leg that caused them to limp, but they could still shoulder and fire a musket. Now, the second battalion of troops consisted of men that were so disabled, like losing a hand or an arm or even a leg or both legs, that they could only work in hospitals as attendants, orderlies, and guards, because with hospitals, you ain't got to worry too much about someone trying to break into a hospital or leave a hospital because they're wounded. Well, with the Invalid Corps, this added bodies of men to the rear lines of the Union Army so that more able-bodied men could go to the front lines. And they were still considered soldiers. They were given uniforms and pay. And they also was a body of troops that all had a common, you know, had a common denominator of them being wounded and having served distinguishedly in the United States Army and were getting repaid for the distinguished service. But along about 1864, the War Department renamed the Invalid Corps the Veteran Reserve Corps. Due to the simple fact that many of the soldiers in the frontline armies were making fun of the name Invalids. So the United States Army decided to change it to the Veteran Reserve Corps, and they also started adding in more diverse troops, not only wounded soldiers, but soldiers who had served their 2 or 3 year sentences in the Army, and that they were going to be posted there for light duty. Well, by the extensive fighting in 1863 and 1864 with the heavy casualties in Lee in the Overland Campaign with Grant in the Shenandoah Valley out there in the West trying to fight for Atlanta, the Invalid Corps or the Veteran Reserve Corps grew to over 28,000 officers and men that made up the two battalions. But then they were transferred into regiments within the battalions. So there was 24 regiments of Veteran Reserve troops. Now, these men were ordered to do different tasks. The breakdown of the regiment duties were that 7 of the regiments were prison guards at federal prisons such as Elmira, Point Lookout, Camp Douglas, and so on. 15 of the regiments were garrison troops. And most of these garrison troops were actually in Washington, D.C. By the time Grant had done his Overland campaign, he was needing every able-bodied man to get to fill the ranks after the disastrous losses at the Wilderness and Spotsylvania in Cold Harbor. So by the late part of 1864, Washington, D.C.'s garrison troops were made up majority of the Veteran Reserve Corps, and these were the men that could bear arms and somewhat fight but could not do active campaign of marching and so on. And the last two regiments of the 24 were hunting deserters. One regiment was in charge of hunting deserters in the eastern seaboard of the United States, and one regiment was used to hunt deserters in the western part of the United States, out there in Ohio, Indiana, and Illinois. Now, these veteran reserve troops, veteran soldiers, they had seen combat before, and they were very good at their job. This was a way of paying them back for their service in the regular army by still giving them a paycheck, still giving them food and clothing, but they were not required to do active campaigning. However, some of these veteran reserve troops did see combat during Jubal Early's attack on Washington, D.C. in July of 1864. Some of these reserve units that were garrison troops for Washington, D.C. actually did fight some of Jubal Early's Confederate forces. And also they fought at a small engagement at White Horse, Virginia. They were fighting off some of Wade Hampton's cavalry trying to raid a Union supply depot. Well, during this engagement, an officer asked the commanding officer of the Invalid Corps regiment if his invalids would stand. Well, the wounded officer answered, "Tell the general that my men are cripples and they can't run," saying that they're going to have to stand because they won't be able to retreat. These men had special uniforms compared to the rest of the Union Army. If you see in all the Civil War reenactments and Civil War movies, you see the Union soldiers wearing a dark blue jacket and sky blue trousers. Well, the veteran reserves were given a uniform almost opposite of that. Their uniforms were actually made, the coats were actually made of a sky blue woolen cloth with dark blue trimming, and their pants were sky blue. If any of y'all seen the movie The Conspirator, where they're going into Mary Surratt's house, there is a veteran reserve soldier guarding the home so no one tries to break in and harass the Surratt family. Now, these men, as I mentioned before, were unable to do active campaigning. They were hospital orderlies. They were simple guards for prisons. They were buildings in Washington, D.C., and other cities around the United States. These men were not meant to fight, but at several times later on in the war, especially when Grant's army was running low on men and having to use every available man possible to guard simple supply bases, these veteran reserve troops done that. And this Veteran Reserve Corps, actually, their service extended beyond the Civil War. Some of the men of the Veteran Reserve Corps regiments were not disbanded until 1868, way after the Civil War had ended. Just because some of these men had done such meritorious service in the United States Army that they were given an extended period of being in the service doing light duty. Now, two battalions, as I mentioned before, the first battalion was made up of soldiers that could still bear muskets and, if needed, be in combat. Well, this battalion was under the direct control of the War Department for the entire war. The second battalion, which were men who had lost limbs, unable to walk, unable to march, were actually taken over in late 1864 by the Surgeon General's office, because their main focus was using them in hospitals as, hospital attendants, nurses, cooks, soldiers that just walked around and tried to give encouragement to the other soldiers for their wounds, simple things like that. Now, the men were armed with antiquated weapons, because most of the newer rifle muskets were being sent to the front lines, these soldiers were armed with older smoothbore muskets because they were not, they didn't believe that they would see much action. Now, that was for the 1st Battalion. They were given older muskets, older equipment, equipment that was not, you know, the best quality, because they said, well, they're just going to be guards. There's no sense in giving them brand new equipment. Now, the 2nd Battalion, the men who were even more disabled, they were issued pistols, revolvers, and short swords for just in case if something did happen. But even then, their equipment was shoddy, to say the least. One of them was actually the Lafleur French revolver that was notorious for being inadequate, misfiring, falling apart literally if, you know, if seen to, if shot too many times. So, but the United States Army was trying to use every available man they could for the cause of the Union and ending the slavery. Now, the Confederates had their own Invalid Corps, which they never officially called that, roughly 4,000 to 5,000 men who were unfit for military service in armies were used as the same purpose as guards, as hospital attendants, working in fortifications, doing simple light duty work. Actually, the president's guard, President Jefferson Davis's personal bodyguards, were made of invalid troops. They guarded the Confederate White House during the later stages of the war, and actually some of them did go with President Jefferson Davis when he was captured in Irwinville, Georgia, as his escort. But as you can, as I mentioned before, over 28,000 men served in the two battalions of the Veteran Reserve Corps. 28,000 men. Our military nowadays lost 28,000 men in 10 years. It would be considered a bloodbath. By 1864, only 3 years into the conflict, there was over 28,000 officers and men who made up these units, who were wounded, who could not fight for the Union. Now, granted, the United States had so many men that never even saw a day in uniform. They could have simply just kept pulling more and more in, but the United States Army and the War Department decided to recycle old troops, old veteran troops that knew how to fight, into rear echelon areas to where they wouldn't see combat, so that they could still serve in the military and to keep an awesome reserve of manpower up in the North, so much that, as the historian Shelby Foote put it, that the Union fought with one hand tied behind its back. There was so much manpower and industry up north that if there was ever even a remote chance the Confederacy could win the war, Lincoln could pull out the other arm and fight a bloodbath. So I hope everyone has enjoyed this radio show on a topic that is very rarely mentioned about the Veteran Reserve Corps of the United States Army, and I hope that this will enlighten some people, even for some further research into it, and maybe somebody's ancestor was in the Veteran Reserve Corps. So I hope y'all enjoyed the show, and next week on Monday we'll come back with another show. I'll post the topic of the show this week, and I hope y'all have a great week, and I'll see y'all next week. Thank you.